It's been a great year in the NBL, 21 past 8 on a Friday morning. We've been lucky enough to have the hierarchy as part of the conversation throughout the season. Larry Kesselman came into the studio, as did Jeremy Lolliger, the commissioner of the NBL. It's a great title and we love it. And he's been good enough to join us again as we have a bit of an end of home and away season break before the finals next year. Commish, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. You are welcome anytime on this program. Don't you worry about that. And particularly after your competition, the NBL grew by 21% in attendance across the season. You must be absolutely wrapped with that level of feedback.
Yeah, look, it's all heading in the right direction, which is pleasing. It's our fifth consecutive year of attendance growth. And I think the most pleasing aspect of this season in terms of attendances is that it was across the board. Every single club grew their average attendance. And I think it's the first year that that's happened in the history of the, and it's a long history of the NBL, so we're very, very pleased.
It's an amazing effort when you think about it, every club getting increases. From a local perspective, Melbourne United drew 117,000 fans through the gates, six sellout crowds, and then you got the Phoenix who came in and had some unbelievable numbers, 75,000 people coming in for a first-year team.
Yeah, which is the best result that an expansion team's had in the league, so we're very, very pleased with the guys from the Phoenix. I thought they did a wonderful job both on and off court during the season. They had a bumper start to the season, definitely, helped by some a string of home games, and they did it a little bit tougher on the road, but I thought the product that they put out there was absolutely fantastic, and they're building the culture there the right way. And the other aspect of the Melbourne crowds that I'm very pleased with was there was a lot of, I guess, questioning or nervousness about whether or not it was too soon to introduce the second team back into Melbourne and whether or not that would cannibalise Melbourne United crowds, and of course we were very bullish that it would have the opposite effect, that the local competition would continue to drive audiences and rivalry, and that's proven to be the case. And Melbourne United have grown their audience as well. And as you say, six or seven sellouts there for Melbourne United was a fantastic result.
So, Jeremy, these numbers are absolutely brilliant, and basketball is going from strength to strength, no doubt. But what's your instruction now to your team? Is it simply go and sell it? Here's the actual facts. Or is there a deeper strategy to this to make the game grow again?
Yeah, look, the reality is that we're at about 85% capacity across our venues now. And so the strategy of the business needs to pivot a little bit in the sense that you will hit capacity relatively soon, and we need to be having longer-term conversations with governments and city councils about expanding basketball infrastructure in Australia, both at the professional level and grassroots level, because we're maxing out both in terms of participation and attendance. And at the same time, from a league point of view, our attention is very much focused on viewership, because that's not going to cap out. That's something where we can grow exponentially for a very long time yet, because our audience is not just here in Australia, it's now global, and we're looking to overseas markets to continue to grow eyeballs on the sport.
So you talk about Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Was it above or below your expectation of where they could potentially be? The crowd numbers are amazing, but from a performance level?
Look, from a performance level, I really like the team that they put together in terms of the discipline and the culture that was instilled in that club from day one. They put the right foundation pieces in place with guys like Mitch Creek and Ben Magid, Adam Gibson, hard-nosed players who are always going to form a strong foundation of a good hard-nosed club. As I said, home crowds, in front of home crowds, they did very, very well. They struggled on the road a bit, but I'm sure they'll bounce back. I think it was difficult for them in the end, having so many home games to begin with. They got into a bit of a comfort zone, perhaps. It's a challenge that we have here in Melbourne because of the Australian Open being held at Melbourne Arena. Both Melbourne teams do tend to have more home games at the front of the season. We would like to spread that out a little bit more. And as the redevelopment of the State Basketball Centre continues, hopefully they'll be able to play some more games out there and we can spread the load over the season for them a little bit more.
And Jeremy, we've got a text that's just come in, and a basketball fan talking about how good the crowds are, but translating that into TV numbers. Now, we've had this discussion a little bit before as well. It seems basketball fans consume their basketball on television very different ways, and a lot of it is through streaming and all that sort of thing. But how do you get the TV numbers up?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I tend to talk now about viewership rather than TV because of that fact. But the reality is here in Australia, we're still very TV focused. And we did increase our audience again significantly this year. I know the comparison from ESPN this season to Fox Sports last season, we're up about 20%, I believe.
Okay.
So that's very pleasing. But still, we're coming off low numbers. And the big challenge for us is how we translate what we think is a fantastic entertainment product in venue. How do you translate that through a screen into a living room? And we're still learning, and we're getting better at that. We've had a new production partner this year in IMG. It was their first year on the journey with us, and we think it's got better during the course of the season. And we think it's going to get better again during the finals. We're looking to step things up again in partnership with IMG and start testing some new things that will roll out in earnest next season.
It is an intriguing one, because everyone that goes to the basketball talks about what a great experience it is to go. And so many more people are talking about basketball. And I know from the other side of the fence, I know how hard the NBL is working to try and make it a better TV sport. It's not like they haven't been trying, but it's just interesting where the numbers are. I would have thought they'd be a lot higher than what they are. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, look, I'm the same. I mean, for us, it seems like a very compelling product, but the reality is that the audience who watches basketball is pretty different to the demographic watching, say, AFL, NRL.
Yeah, yeah.
And they like to consume their audience, that would be an issue, consume their content in a pretty different way. And so we need to be responsive to that, but also we need to be mindful of how we measure it, because you can't measure consumption by media by a younger audience in the same way that you measure consumption by an older audience. It's just different.
Yep.
Jeremy, the success of obviously LaMelo Ball and RJ Hampton, without telling us who the players potentially are, how far down the path are you with potential players for next season to fill those roles again?
Yeah, look, we're well progressed, but at the same time, particularly the overseas players tend not to make their decisions this early, and it all revolves around timing of college announcements, and they want to drag things out and get things like shoe deals done as well. And so while conversations are well progressed, I still expect that announcements are probably at least a month away, if indeed we do end up getting the signatures on paper. But there are a good number of conversations that are well progressed.
Take us through the decision to have a week off before the final series. We had real good momentum coming through, and then there's a bit of a gap. Tell us why that happened.
Well, it's not a decision per se. I mean, we've got the FIBA World Cup qualifiers on at the moment. So Australia played New Zealand last night. The Tall Blacks had a fantastic victory over the Boomers, and congratulations to them. It's a great chance, though, for the NBL players to represent their national teams. The NBA players for the Boomers don't return for World Cup qualifiers, and so it needs to be staffed, and the local players are the guys who get the nod. And we want to give them the opportunity to play for their country. We have an agreement with Basketball Australia to take a break during that period so that they can make sure that they are filling the national teams with good talent.
Well, it's always good fun talking to you, Jeremy. It's been another fantastic season of the home and away variety in the basketball world in Australia. Hopefully the finals are just as good. Perth and Cairns kick it off next Friday, then Sydney and Melbourne in their three-game series as well. It's four great teams in a great competition. Well done on the year so far.
Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for your support.